Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday morning. It's December 19, 2023. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. A little bit colder than what we were expecting. We actually did see some snow yesterday and last night, but it didn't stick around, and not sure it's going to stick around much longer, because we are going to see temperatures in the mid to upper 70s today. Maybe get some snow on Friday. And let's see, on Monday, nope, which is Christmas, obviously, the 25th. But so far, right now in the forecast, no snow for us on Christmas Day. But, of course, it could change. So just stick around for a while, because it's Michigan, as we always say. Coming up in the program, we do have a jam-packed schedule for you. We are going to be looking at, and this will happen in the second hour of the program with Dr. Matthew Bunsen, are going to be looking at this statement that came out from the Vatican yesterday on blessings of irregular situations with couples, and of course all over the news, and it can be very confusing, I mean, trying to sort through this. So we'll have Dr. Matthew Bunsen on with us today, and then on Thursday we'll be diving into this with Father Mitch Pacwa. Another decision we'll be discussing later in the week with Father Mitch will be this decision from the Church to allow folks to keep a certain amount of remains of loved ones that they have cremated in certain circumstances. It's all very confusing, I know, and bear with us as we try to sort through this and be respectful and try to just get to the bottom of it and help us understand how we are supposed to respond to these decisions from the Vatican. In terms of cremation, to me, it could be very confusing, and also something like this might be ripe for abuse. I don't know. That's what I'm thinking, but I'll see if Father Mitch has a different opinion on that. But we will take a look at this from a truly Catholic perspective and a calm perspective, with, of course, respect for the Church and the Magisterium and the Vicar of Christ, but, of course, raise some questions that need to be answered, and many people are asking very, very good questions about this. I do want to say that I did see some stories yesterday, and I was pleasantly surprised at the balance of them, including one from Channel 4. A contact of mine that I've known for years, Rob Maloney, sent me some emails and wanted to get to the bottom of the story. And so I suggested Dr. Monica Miller, and she did an excellent job. And the story was very balanced, and that's what it should be. I mean, they're a secular station. They can't be all pro-Catholic or all pro-one side. All we should expect, well, at least partly, is to make sure that they're balanced and they're factual. And that story was in both, and they were very cautious in terms of making sure that people knew that the Vatican wasn't giving license to same-sex relationships. So I really appreciated that. I really didn't expect any less. I've known Rod for quite a while. He's a good guy. He was at Channel 4 when I was at Channel 7 and Channel 50, so he's been at this for a while. Again, there are some other outlets that are running with this and trying to say this opens up the door for everything. So I think we have to take a breath, and we have to talk to the experts on this, and that's what we're going to do starting today in the 9 o'clock hour with Dr. Matthew Bunsen. And then we're also, again, as I mentioned, be diving into this more deeply on Thursday with Father Mitch Pacwa. Today at 8:15, I want to take a little dive into one of my favorite Christmas carols, and it's become very popular here in the United States, even though it is a song that is immensely popular in Italy, and you probably know which song to which I'm referring. That is "Tu scende dalle stelle," you descend from the stars. It's a song that I grew up hearing, being from an Italian-American family, but also has a great history with one of our saints, St. Alphonse Liguori. And I found even more detail on this song. I've written about it on my Italian website, TravelItalyExpert.com, and there's a link to my father's version of the song. But I found this summary from Tan Books on their website, very detailed with some new information that I had not heard about before. And so we'll share that with you, along with the beautiful rendition. In addition to my daddy, my papa, my favorite rendition is the one by Luciano Pavarotti. And to me, he's the absolute best in terms of opera singers and vocalists out there. I know he passed away several years ago, but his voice is just so iconic and strong. So I thought it would be something nice and something to think about in terms of the words of the song. And then in the bottom of the hour, we're going to be checking in with the beautiful sisters in Alma, Michigan. I don't know if you're familiar with their work, but they're amazing. Sister Mary Sarah Macht is going to be joining us, and she's going to be telling us all about the Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center in Alma, Michigan, which is in the central Michigan area, very close to where I went to college at Central Michigan University. But Sister Mary is a board-certified family nurse practitioner, And as a religious, she studied for a bachelor's degree in nursing at Regis University in Colorado. And following her experience there, she worked at a number of different locations, including the St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa, before being assigned to work at the Pontifical North American College in Rome. And after completing her master's degree a few years ago in nursing, she joined the team at Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center in Alma, working in administrative and clinical roles. These women are brilliant, and they're doing so much to help those in need. So we'll touch base with Sister Mary Sarah, and she'll join us at 8:35 in the morning. And right at the top of the hour, Dr. Matthew Bunsen will be joining us to talk about the latest from the Vatican on that blessing story. Dr. Scott Hahn at 9:15, he is going to be, along with his beautiful wife, Kimberly, our speakers at, among the speakers at the Grand Hotel Getaway. That's in July, the 22nd through the 24th. We have a link at the Ave Maria Radio travel page. We also have it on my page under the events section at teresatomeo.com. And we'll also talk about a new book that's coming out, if we have time, Breaking the Bread, from, of course, his beautiful St. Paul's Center. So a ton to talk about with the good Dr. Scott Hahn. That's at 9:15. And then I'm excited to be re-airing an interview you heard last week with our friend Joseph Pierce. And Andrew and I were talking about this, and I thought it would be a really good interview to run today, the day after this statement came out from the Vatican, because there's a lot of questions being asked and a lot of, you know, scratching our heads and people wondering what is going on, where is the church going, what does this mean? And this book that was written by our friend Joseph Pierce, all about, I think it's entitled, I don't have the title in front of me, The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful. I'll pull it up. It's from Ignatius Press. Anyway, we just did an interview on it last week, and I'm already forgetting the title. But the theme of the book I'm very familiar with. It is all about looking at the big picture and the perspective of how God never abandons his church. And now throughout history, God has always provided people that make a difference and that turn the ship around if it's starting to go into some sort of a wrong direction. So many great saints, St. Francis, St. Catherine of Siena, and so many others, St. Augustine, St. Ambrose, I mean, on and on and on. The church has given us these people. God has given us these people, again, because this is his church, and he promised in Matthew 16, 18, that gates of hell shall not prevail against her. So a busy morning here on Catholic Connection, as we mentioned. I hope you can stay tuned for the entire 2 hours of the program. Weather-wise, cold out there right now. Well, it is December in Michigan, 27 degrees, a high of 37, partly sunny. The sun is supposed to come out sometime. Much nicer tomorrow. They're calling for mid-40s and sunny as we move into the weekend, the end of the third week of Advent. Wednesday, I mentioned 44. Thursday, partly sunny and 40, not too bad. Friday, some precipitation, 40 and some rain. It's not going to be snow because it's above freezing. And then hovering in the mid to upper 40s, Saturday, Sunday, and Christmas Day on Monday with just clouds and no snow in the forecast for right now. So not too bad here in Michigan, pretty comfortable and making it easy to get around, unlike what's happening with folks down in Florida and also in New Jersey. Lots of bad weather situations out there, and they're recovering still from them this morning. And in terms of what the National Weather Service is saying, weather-wise, here we go. Lake effect snow expected downwind of the Great Lakes with several inches of accumulation expected in higher elevations of the northern and central Appalachians. An active weather pattern across the West Coast will bring rainfall for areas across the Pacific Northwest and California through much of this week. 8:08, that's a look at our weather and a rundown for today on Tuesday. And don't forget, we have a beautiful concert that we're involved with tonight at the St. John Center. Rennie and Esther Kaufman, who joined me last week, they are going to be the featured speakers and guests at this event tonight at the St. John Center. Doors open and the rosary begins at 6:30. Right now, 8:09 already, let's check the news and see what's happening on a Tuesday morning, December 19th. Again, we'll have more on this with Dr. Matthew Bunsen. According to a statement issued by the United States bishops, a Vatican-issued declaration on blessing same-sex couples and couples in other irregular situations does not change the Church's teaching that marriage is between a man and a woman. Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith issuing a declaration yesterday opening the door, Catholic News Agency reports, for priests to pastorally bless same-sex couples. However, the declaration did make clear that such blessings cannot be performed in a way to resemble marriage and conveyed a distinction between a pastoral blessing and a sacramental blessing. The bishop stressing the declaration articulated, again, a distinction between those blessings. The church teachings on marriage has not changed, they said, and this declaration affirms while also making an effort to accompany people through the imparting of what they referred to as pastoral blessings. The Archdiocese of Naples, Italy, announcing that the miracle of the liquefaction of the blood of St. Janarius was repeated over the weekend on Saturday at the end of a Mass honoring him as a patron saint of that city. The Italian Archdiocese reported on Facebook that at 10:35 a.m. December 16th, the announcement of the liquefaction of the blood of St. Janarius was made at the end of the Eucharist celebrated in the Royal Chapel of the Cathedral in Naples. That miracle traditionally occurs three times a year, Catholic News Agency explains, in commemoration of the transfer of his remains to Naples. That's the Saturday before the first Sunday in May, on his feast day, September 19th, and on the anniversary of the eruption of nearby Mount Vesuvius back in 1631, when his intercession was invoked and the city was spared from the effects of the eruption. A murdered Nebraska Catholic priest laid to rest. Funeral services for Father Stephen Gutskell took place yesterday at St. Cecilia Cathedral in Omaha. He was killed during an attack in the rectory at St. John the Baptist Church earlier this month. The suspect in the deadly stabbing is charged with first-degree murder. The Oklahoma Supreme Court will not intervene in a lawsuit trying to prevent the opening of the nation's first religious charter school. The order from the state's highest court issued yesterday afternoon. The state superintendent in the Oklahoma Department of Education wanted to stop a lawsuit filed by Oklahoma Attorney General Drummond aiming to stop the creation of St. Isidore of Seville School. Plans for the school to open call for the opening in fall of 2024. The UN Security Council will likely try again today to vote on a halt to the fighting in Gaza. Previous efforts have been vetoed by the U.S., and Israel continues a war against the Palestinian militant group Hamas. This time, Security Council is expected to call for a suspension of hostilities of an outright stop, hoping it could bring Washington on board. While the Biden administration has criticized the mounting civilian casualties in the war, continues to argue that a full stopping of the hostilities would only benefit the terrorist group Hamas. And Chicago aldermen, meanwhile, moving forward with the resolution calling on the White House and Congress to push for a ceasefire in Gaza. That measure sponsored by First Ward Alderman Daniel Espada.
We are authorized, I think we were demanded to speak on every issue that demands attention from our constituents, that hurts and impacts their lives.
The Committee on Health and Human Relations voting yesterday to recommend the resolution to the full council next month. The Chicago Jewish Community Relations Council, meanwhile, and the Anti-Defamation League Midwest called that measure reckless, irresponsible, and also dangerous. And a nonprofit, as Lisa Taylor tells us, that tracks threats against Jewish communities, says there were more than 200 false bomb threats and swatting calls over the weekend.
The Secure Community Network says those incidents targeted facilities in California, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, and Washington, among other states. Swatting refers to prank calls to authorities in order to send a SWAT team to someone under a false pretense a crime is happening.
Hundreds of thousands of customers without power in the Northeast due to that major storm packing strong winds and heavy rains. PowerOutage.usa showing power was knocked out for more than 600,000 people from Massachusetts up to Maine as of last night. Meanwhile, northern New Jersey communities, as Scott Pringle tells us, dealing with big flooding-related problems from the storm that hit Sunday into yesterday.
Patterson remains under a state of emergency where schools are closed today. The two main bridges in the community remain out because of the swollen Passaic River that's flooded out streets and homes.
It was raining too hard and the wind was blowing and everything was so crazy here.
Lincoln Park, Denville, Dover, Lodi, among the other northern New Jersey communities experiencing street and home flooding. There were a number of rescues made yesterday from flooded out vehicles and homes.
And it's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas in a place we don't expect it to feel like Christmas, in South Florida, in the Miami area, with a cold start to their day. The National Weather Service, this meteorologist, George Rizzuto, says they're waking up with the coolest temperatures of the week in the lower 50s across the region.
For inland areas around Lake Okeechobee, you could expect temperatures in the lower to mid-40s.
Wow, he expects temperatures to be on the cooler side tonight as well, in the upper 50s to lower 60s. Then go back up tomorrow to the upper 60s and low 70s, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Both look like they will be beauties with no rain, lots of sun, and below average temperatures, however. The funeral for former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor is today. She was honored yesterday at the Supreme Court, ahead of a service at the Washington National Cathedral this morning. Hunter Biden is set to be arraigned on tax charges in January. He's expected to make his first appearance on the 9 tax-related charges in Los Angeles on January 11th. He faces 3 felony and 6 misdemeanor counts with a maximum penalty of 17 years in prison. And Michael Kastner tells us homelessness in the U.S. is at an all-time high.
A new report from the Department of Housing and Urban Development shows the number of people experiencing homelessness is up 12% compared to last year. Back in September, New York City Mayor Eric Adams revealed his new fears as tens of thousands of asylum seekers flooded his city.
I don't see an end to this. This issue will destroy New York City.
One L.A. business owner says she's frustrated by the lack of homeless people utilizing resources in that city.
We'll feed them. We offer food, but if they don't want it, what can we do? It's very frustrating. They'll throw things at you and they'll grab you.
Officials say the study indicates an urgent need for solutions.
Southwest Airlines agreeing to a record-setting civil penalty over last year's holiday travel nightmare.
This is not just about holding Southwest accountable for the holidays and plans that were destroyed a year ago, but also about setting a new precedent.
The Department of Transportation saying the airline agreeing to pay a $140 million fine. That's 30 times more than any other fine for violating consumer protection laws. During the year-end holiday travel period last year, Southwest canceled almost 17,000 flights, leaving 2 million travelers stranded. The settlement also requiring Southwest to create a fund that will be used to pay or provide travel vouchers to passengers whose flights are delayed or canceled due to a factor in the airline's control. Rebecca Hughes tells us a new study looking at the impact of inflation on Americans. Well, it's not good news, especially for some southern states, including Mississippi.
Inflation continues lowering the value of a dollar. Today's dollar bill has the same purchasing power as just 85 cents in January of 2021. A U.S. Money Reserve report shows that Mississippi residents are feeling the most impact from inflation compared to the average American. Mississippi was followed by Louisiana, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Georgia, West Virginia, Alabama, and Nevada, filling out the top 10 respectively. Meanwhile, nearly half of Americans stated they were very stressed about price increases within the past 2 months. The research was conducted by the U.S. Money Reserve using third quarter 2023 data from the Census Bureau.
It is a Tuesday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. 8:17, cloudy and 27 in the Motor City. The sun is supposed to break through at some point today, and we'll have a high in the mid to upper 30s. We will take a break, and when we come back, we'll dive a little bit more deeply into a very popular Christmas carol, not only in Italy, but it's also gaining popularity here in the U.S., and it's connected to a wonderful saint, as in St. Alphonse Liguori. We'll explain in more detail, and we'll also hear Luciano Pavarotti's version of Tu scende dalle stelle, you descend from the stars. Stay tuned. You're listening to Ave Maria Radio. We'll be right back.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
Every woman deserves specialized health care. At Arbor Women Health, our team of compassionate professionals listen to our patients and want to understand what they're going through. They serve everyone from teen girls to seniors. Our faith-based clinicians specialize in obstetrics, gynecology, fertility awareness and crisis, or unexpected pregnancies. Call 734-930-4020 or visit arborwomenhealth.org. Arbor Woman, faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare.
Hello, Steve Ray here. Everything in the Bible and in the Catholic Church starts with the book of Genesis. It reveals to us God's plan for mankind. Yet Genesis can be daunting, especially given the scientific discoveries of the last few centuries. Well, that's where I come in with my new book, Genesis, a Bible study guide and commentary. Discover a thoroughly Catholic approach to this exciting and dramatic ancient narrative that is so often misunderstood. You can get the book now on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. Check it out.
When I heard other business owners say they finally found someone in the credit card industry they can trust, I wondered how he could help me.
So when Mark from Schisler CPC offered to show me where all the money goes for credit card processing with a free analysis of my business, I jumped on it. He reviewed how the industry works, where we could save, and offered a no-contract guarantee on savings and excellent customer service. I'm saving thousands of dollars a year. Schisler CPC. Trust in them.
More information available on the Ave Maria website under Sponsor Business Directory.
Takes me right back to my childhood, my father and my uncles and my grandmother singing that song. As I said, it's a tradition in Italian Catholic families, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful hymn, and written by, of course, St. Alphonse Liguori, who lived between 1696 and 1787. Now, I found an interesting article that I had not seen before, which a lot more detail on the actual song and the lyrics, and you can find it at Tan Books, tandirection.com. The article was written by Natalie Hudson, a famous Christmas carol written by St. Alphonse Liguori. And she's saying that Catholics should know of St. Alphonse Liguori and his famous Christmas hymn he penned as a young priest entitled Tu Scende dalle Stelle. And she has a link in this article to the song by Luciano Pavarotti, which you just heard the performance, actually, that was done in Vienna, Austria with the Vienna Boys Choir. As she explains, St. Alphonse, an Italian bishop from Naples, a prolific writer and thinker with countless published works over his long lifetime of 90 years. Now, these works fill numerous volumes and include publications on subjects as vast as theology, philosophy, music, poetry, law, and more. And he was also a gifted musician and composer. Not to mention that is amazing, but he also was the founder of the Redemptorist Order, a global order of priests very well known in Italy and Rome. The most famous Christmas song in Italy, and this is so true, everywhere you go in Italy at Christmas time, starting, I think, in like November, you start hearing this song, Tu Scende dalle Stelle. And even Andrea Bocelli has described it as the most famous song, not just the most famous Christmas song, but the most famous song in Italy. Indeed, the article goes on to say the hymn is the most beloved Christmas carol on the Italian peninsula and is in many ways at the heart of the Italian celebration of Christmas. Heard at just about every Christmas Mass, all throughout Christmas season, Masses, celebrations, and festivals. St. Alphonse was canonized in 1839, declared a doctor of the church in 1871. It was Pius IX who translated the song into modern Italian and named it Tu Scende dalle Stelle, from Starry Skies Thou Comest. The song was an immediate hit since its original release, and even more so after its papal notice and translation into modern Italian, making it understood throughout the papal states. And he wrote the song as a young priest in the year 1732, while staying as a guest at a convent at a hilltop. There, St. Alphonse was working in a religious house maintained by his newly created order in the province of Foggia. Foggia is located in beautiful Puglia, Italy. Puglia is the heel of Italy. Great place to go. Not enough Americans visit it beyond the wonderful sites for Padre Pio. But if you're going to Italy to see Padre Pio, head south, because Puglia is just incredible. Anyhow, since his ordination at 1726 at the age of 30, the saint worked at the poor of Naples. He later ventured out of the city, where he encountered people who were even more poor in the villages and towns outside of Naples. This led him to Foggia, where he was to write this song. The mood and feeling is a lullaby, a song to the baby Jesus, sung with all the love and devotion of a child to his infant king. For this reason, it also is sometimes referred to as a little song to the child Jesus. Several translations of the lyrics exist in English, and I often play, and Andrew, I don't know if you have time, but if you can pull up my father's version of the song, because my father, when he would sing it at midnight mass every year at our parish, he would do part of it in Italian and then part of it in English so people could hear the beautiful lyrics. So Andrew's going to pull that up, and I think we'll close with a little bit of my father's version so you can hear the lyrics in English. The bagpipe tradition in southern Italy. This is something else that's associated with this song, which is really great. St. Alphonsus preached and wrote the hymn for the common man to understand. Part of the reason he became so popular in his ministry was because of his plain and simple preaching. His approach was to never preach a sermon which the poorest old woman in the congregation would not understand. I love that. To be able to not talk down to people, but to speak to everyone in a way they can understand. The song, written in the traditional music style of a folk song, often played in Naples in the region of southern Italy by the men who played the beloved zambonia instrument that continues to thrive in the southern region of the country. By definition, it's a type of Italian bagpipe, a traditional instrument that has become associated with Christmas and this carol. So we have the lyrics in English here, which are absolutely beautiful, but as I said, Andrew will pull up my dad's version. And sometimes this song is even called the Carol of the Bagpipers. So this is something I think can get us to think a little bit about the beauty of the birth of the Christ child and how the saints wanted to express it for us. And in terms of the saints, especially, for example, we know not only of St. Alphonse Liguori, but we also think about St. Francis of Assisi. And we've been talking about this a lot because this year is the 800th anniversary of Greccio and the crèche scene there that St. Francis established. And if you look up on the Vatican website or Catholic News Agency or any good Catholic resource, you will see the beautiful nativity display in St. Peter's Square, which features St. Francis, many of his brothers, the mayor of Greccio and his wife in St. Francis's time who supported the effort, and very traditional figures in the nativity. Of course, Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus is not there yet, but the whole idea of going back in time, but a very, very, I think, beautiful way to express Christmas. It's a great time to be in Italy, to be at Christmas time. Rome would be crowded, but it's so beautiful. You can see so much beauty. A friend of mine who lives in Assisi, they're from California, they live in Assisi, sent us some pictures of what Assisi looks like right now. It's just like a dream in terms of the lights and the decorations and the songs and the music. Sent me a few videos of what's going on there now. But always, always in the midst of this is this beautiful Italian Christmas carol with the words written by St. Alphonse Liguori, "Tu scende dalle stelle," or more commonly known in English as "You Descend from the Stars." So whether you prefer it sung by Luciano Pavarotti or maybe someone in your family or your neighborhood, it is a beautiful Christmas carol to contemplate the birth of our Lord and the Christmas season. So, Andrew, if we have that version, we can play a little bit of my father, Michele Annunziato Schillaci, singing "Tu scende dalle stelle." We'll be right back.
One cold and blessed winter, in days beyond recall, a child was born to save us, born to save us all. A child was born to save us, born to save us all. Oh, bambino mio divino, io ti vedo qui a tremar. Oh, Dio beato, o quanto te costò l'avermi amato, o quanto ti costò l'avermi amato. A te che sei del mondo, il creatore, non sono pane e fuoco, o mio Signore, non sono pane e fuoco, o mio Signore, caro eletto, par galletto, quanto questa povertà più mi annemora, giacché te fece amor, o mio Signore, giacché te fece amor, o mio Signore.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a beautiful Tuesday morning, the third week of Advent. Yeah, we're talking with this morning Sister Mary Sarah Macht, and she is with the beautiful sisters, the Sacred Heart Mercy Health Center in Alma, Michigan. And Sister, you and I were talking during the break. I know very well where Alma is because I went to Central Michigan University, so Mount Pleasant, right smack in the center of the state. But what's beautiful about your ministry is nowadays you can reach so many people because of telemedicine. And I know you wanted to discuss this morning how your services have actually expanded. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Teresa. It's exciting to be able to share about the expansions at Sacred Heart Mercy Health Care Center for really people all over the state of Michigan, though I know that our clinic has a broader reach through some of its other works in terms of evangelization. Sacred Heart Mercy Health Care Center was founded in the early 80s. We primarily had a concentration in internal medicine as well mm-hmm. as in some behavioral health services. The community itself is celebrating its 50th jubilee this year, so that if people visit one of our chapels, there's an indulgence available for that. We're also experiencing a lot of growth in our community, so we're hoping to begin a building project so that we can really be able to fit all of our sisters in terms of when they come home to Alma, which is where our mother house is. So we'll be building a chapel and things like that. But I think that over the years, our sisters have also taken the women's care and fertility training through Creighton University, so NAPRO and the Creighton method, you could say. And so we now have a sister who will be coming to Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center who is trained in that way, who will be working with me, and I'm trained in something called fertility care, or mm-hmm. Fertility Education and Medical Management, or FEM, which is really restorative reproductive endocrinology and cycle charting. And so we're excited to be able to bring this kind of health care to women, primarily in Michigan, but abroad in terms of education. We know that, you know, 1 in 3 women take hormonal contraceptives for non-contraceptive-related reasons, so either irregular bleeding or excessive pain or different things. And a lot of women, up to 2/3 of women on the oral contraceptive pill, are on it for reasons that are considered gynecological but are not properly identified and treated. In other words, it's like a right. Band-Aid, but it actually mm-hmm. causes problems long-term. So FEM has protocols to help through a hormonal profile to be able to identify where are the problems in the endocrine system, how is that affecting the woman's whole body. And we can use ovulation as a very sensitive marker. We call it a fifth vital sign for women's health. So if a woman is in a time of her life where she should be ovulating and she's not, then we need to look at that and say, okay, is there a health problem so that we can really help identify that, address that, and restore her health.
In terms of the sisters, I'm curious, how do they end up in Alma, Michigan to begin with, sister? Do you know the history of the order there?
I know it well, yeah. So So after the Second Vatican Council, in brief, the communities around the world, religious communities, were asked to go back and look at the founding charism and their works and see, you know, how that fit today, and to really explore the primitive rule and understand what's the modern context for that. And so our sisters did that under the works of Mother Catherine McCauley, who is an Irish woman who founded the Religious Sisters of Mercy. And they began what they called, at that time, we used the word experimental or experimental group. So they were placed at St. Mary's in Grand Rapids
okay.
to live this experimental community. And then over time, it became clear that the direction they were moving, which was, you know, to continue to live in community, to pray together, to wear the habit, to live religious life the way it had been more traditionally lived, and the way the church thinks of religious life, it became clear that there wouldn't be able to be a full reconciliation with the other Sisters of Mercy or the larger group. So at that time, we found a bishop in the person of Bishop Ray in the Diocese of Saginaw, and he placed us in Alma for evangelization purposes. So that's how we got here.
That's very interesting. So the connection with the medical community, though, how did that all come about, and the interest in medicine? So just working with that order and developing it over the years?
Yeah, so, you know, historically, Sisters of Mercy have been in hospitals, in hospital administration, as well as in nursing. And so I think that, as it's been relayed to me, after Roe versus Wade in 1973, which was around the time that the community was founding, the thought was that it would be difficult for Sisters of Mercy to be in large hospitals in the future and be Catholic with all of that sort of entanglement.
Yeah.
Even then, they could see that. And so the idea was to have small, flexible clinics that you could be independent of, you could say, government funding sources or third-party payers in different ways if you needed to. But it would allow us to be able to serve the church in any way that we were being asked. So it might be in a clinic, a fixed clinic like we have in Alma, or it could be in a mobile clinic, which is how some of our sisters serve in other parts of the country. Or you could be sent on a mission for a period of time to provide care in a situation of need. Sort of however the church needs help, we would be trained, highly trained, to be able to step into that role.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that context, it became clear that we needed to have sister physicians and the real beauty and the good and the role of that. And so some of our sisters who were originally educated in nursing went to medical school.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the beginning of Sacred Heart Mercy Health Care Center. And then over the years, we've had other women come who have studied medicine, but have also studied nursing and advanced practice nursing. And so we now have very robust ways of providing medical care through our clinics.
But more than just medical care, though, Sister, I mean, the spirit is attached to that as you're faithful to the magisterium and the church, and that's so, so important because that spiritual component is huge.
Yeah.
Because as you know, and I have to tell you this, you're a sister, you're treating more than just the body, you're treating the whole person. We're talking with Sister Mary Sarah Macht, and we're talking about the beautiful services of Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center, smack in central Michigan in my old college territory. It's actually just south of Mount Pleasant, Michigan, but you can find out more about this beautiful ministry and all the amazing work that they do. The website is sacredheartmercy.org, sacredheartmercy.org for Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center. Sister, I think what you were saying about the church having this prophetic, really, I think, thought or vision, if you want to say, in terms of what would be happening in the future, and we see it now, don't we? Every time we turn around, there's another lawsuit against a Catholic medical operation, or all the different attacks, both the virtual attacks and the vocal attacks, not to mention physical attacks on pregnancy help centers. And the fact that you're able to do this peacefully and provide this kind of service and still be faithful to the Catholic Church is just incredible.
I was thinking, about it this morning, you know, especially in this time when we're getting ready to, in another way, celebrate the incarnation of the Lord. You know, it's really a call to be open to life. And I think about the good work that's been going on in the clinic. And actually, we're also accepting new patients for primary care and internal medicine. So, you know, we do provide adult general medicine care as well. But a real openness to life and helping couples who often have not received actually a good workup for their issues, and to be able to see if it is possible for them to conceive. And sometimes these are not, I don't want to say they're simple. They take the proper workup, but it's a workup that's often not done. And if we do the things that are simply part of good health care,
right,
we can help them achieve, be able to conceive. But you're right, too. You know, also in terms of the clinic, we're really dedicated to that idea of comprehensive health care that embraces the whole person. So the very heart of our clinic, and I think the reason why people come a lot of the time, whether they know it or not, is because we do have a chapel, a very beautiful chapel. with the Blessed Sacrament. And the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is offered here at least once a week for our patients and for their needs and intentions. And so we're able to bring the sacrament. We have priests who can offer the Mass, who can be available for the sacrament of the sick and other sacraments. And so we're able to, under those auspices, really be able to provide a kind of holistic care for our patients.
Wow. And you mentioned telemedicine. We're seeing so much abuse of that. For example, with this whole push for the abortion pill through the mail, the case is now at the Supreme Court level. I mean, as someone who works in medicine, the idea that a woman is not examined by an OBGYN before receiving anything, I wouldn't want to call this abortion pill medication, but to receive this, a prescription for this, through telemedicine or through the mail, without examining the patient, I mean, that is a recipe for disaster in so many ways.
So there are a lot of concerns, and I think that there's something shocking, and it should be shocking, about the fact that we're making it easier and easier and easier, but less safe in so many ways, obviously. But I think that we have to also remember that there wasn't probably much of a process before either. In other words, if you wanted the abortion pill, and there could be at least the appearance of some kind of medical exam before you received these medications to end a pregnancy. So that's difficult. But also, you see a wide expansion of different ways that contraceptive pills and intrauterine devices and other long-term contraceptions are being pushed out and marketed to primary care sources. To make it, you could say, easier, more available. So there's a real pushback. And, you know, we didn't go into providing an expansion of services, strictly speaking, because Michigan has one of the most liberal abortion laws in the country. But it just shows where the battle lines really are.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and that it's a struggle for the hearts and minds and the health of the men and women of our nation, of our world. And so to be able to offer this, especially in this time when there's such a striking contrast, more
right.
so in some ways than ever, is a profound reality and a real privilege.
Well, it's amazing. The work you do is just so beautiful, and we're going to pray and for protection over
mm-hmm.
you and all that you do. We're talking with Sister Mary Sarah Macht from Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center in Alma, Michigan. Again, you can check out their beautiful work. And Dr. Fastigi was one of the people who filled me in on you in terms of what you do, because I know he's spoken there and done retreats for you there. Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center, sacredheartmercy.org. So speaking of retreats, what keeps you going in terms of this work? Because I'm sure, as you just described, the climate in Michigan right now is anything but welcoming for the type of work that you do and other pro-life physicians and people in medical care do.
Yeah, so, I mean, the heart truly of our life is our religious life. So for the sisters, you know, we, in addition to the traditional vows that religious make, poverty, chastity, and obedience, we make a fourth vow service to serve the poor, sick, and ignorant. And so there are most certainly special graces that come to the sister, but that come to those under our care gratuitously by way of God's action through our participation or our working with His grace. And so that, you can't always see that, obviously, but that is, a deep reservoir of Christ's love, you could say, that allows us to continue to go forward. Our life of prayer is central. So, you know, we wouldn't be able to do anything through the clinic without our life of prayer, our life in common, our religious identity. And so that's really the heart of all of it. But we do have times of retreat and recreation. So by canon law, we have an annual retreat. It's a spiritual retreat mm-hmm. dedicated to prayer. And then in the time after Christmas, most of the sisters in the United States come together for a time of, we say, retreat. And it is. But it's also a time of relaxation and refreshment and of friendship.
And fellowship, right?
Among
That's important.
The sisters.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, and then... We the privilege of being at the Mother House for the Sisters of Mercy is we're here, and we get to learn, and grow in friendship also with the young women as they're entering. And so, you know, there's a real commitment to formation, to a healthy, balanced life, of service in the church and prayer, but also growth in the common life and in friendship and in sacrifice and learning how to love. That's what it's about. It's a school of perfection in that way. And so, yeah, we do a lot to try to foster that and to continue to help each other grow in love towards Jesus Christ.
And, sister, what if someone can't afford the health care? And do you offer them ways to get some support for that?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. So how shall I say this? We try to make it as possible for any patient who wants to come to us to come to us. So, you know, if they we try to par with as many insurance companies as possible so that if someone wants to come to us, they're not out of network. From our standpoint, we're not bothered by that, but it could be a penalty on the patient. So we try to work from that side. For patients who have no means of payment or no health care, no health insurance, we will do like sliding scale. So we have to have a process by which mm-hmm. we assess their financial need, but we can write up to 100% of their care off. The tricky thing is what happens outside of our walls, right? We can do it, but like if they need labs or they need specialty care, then they can hit a barrier. And so we work with them to see, okay, what options do they have for healthcare insurance? How can we help them understand what their options are and engage with that because of the limitations of what happens when they leave our clinic? But yeah, we definitely do that. And then, you know, traveling, as we were talking about a little bit before, can be a real barrier. Or maybe you're at home and you're caring for a child or you're caring for, you know, a dependent adult. We try to really work and make telemedicine very feasible for our patients within proper safety parameters. So, you know, we don't want to say you don't ever need to come to the clinic. We do need to see you and examine you periodically. But there are now, you could say, payment mechanisms available to make it possible and sustainable to do things by telemedicine. It kind of opens the door for being able to do things in different ways.
Mm, wonderful. So goals for 2024, we've got about 2 minutes left, sister. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, so we want to grow. And so if you need health care or if you're looking for a change, please consider Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center. I know that we're going to be expanding in 2024 with additional services, so stay in tune for those kinds of things. But definitely we're just excited to be able to offer these services to a larger audience or a larger group of people in Michigan and to also bring them into contact with religious sisters.
How beautiful. Sister, thank you so much. What a beautiful description of your wonderful ministry and your work in Alma, Central Michigan area. Again, Sister Mary Sarah telling us about the incredible ministry of their work there, their medical work at Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center in Alma, Michigan. For those of you outside of the Great Lakes State, just hold up your left hand. That's what we tell folks, right, sister? And go right smack in the middle of your hand, a little bit north, and you'll find Alma, which is just below where I went to college at Central Michigan University in Mount Pleasant. Well, sister, as we used to say, CMU later in Mount Pleasant dreams.
Really funny.
Yeah, the oldie days of mine being at CMU, but I remember Alma beautifully. Thank you so much. Have a very Merry Christmas, and pray for us here at Ave Maria Radio and our listeners, and we'll pray for you. By the way, the website of this incredible ministry run by these awesome sisters, it's Sacred Heart Mercy Health Care Center, sacredheartmercy.org, Sacred Heart Mercy Health Care Center at sacredheartmercy.org. We'll be right back. It is a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. This program is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTM. We'll let you know what's coming up at the 9 o'clock hour when we come back. Stay tuned.
If you only see the difficulty in parenting, you will never see the treasure. Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan are devoted to helping moms see the treasure at every stage of life. Project Hope provides material assistance and guidance. Adoption, foster care, and counseling services are also joyfully offered. Our Walking with Moms in Need initiative provides help and hope at every turn. To get involved or make a financial contribution, visit ccscm.org/mom. That's ccscm.org/mom.
I worked with a colleague who struggled to make decisions. She needed to seek out advice from dozens of people, often changing her mind based on the last person she talked to. It was frustrating. Proverbs shows us that seeking counsel can be beneficial. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. But even with counsel, my colleagues struggle to make a decision. Scripture shows us that indecision shows a lack of willingness to commit to absolute principles, and that sense, indecision is a weakness. And even if the decisions are not life-changing, we all can still benefit with prayer when making even the smallest and what seems like insignificant decisions. In the book of James, it explains that if we should pray in all situations, we should certainly pray in times of decision-making. As we pray, we ask for wisdom, then trust God for the best outcome. This has been a Christ Center Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Are you looking for a fabulous Christmas gift idea for your children or grandchildren? How about registering them for a 1 or 2 week stay at Michigan's Camp Santa Maria? There they can escape their daily routines of electronics and digital media to enjoy a sacred space filled with excitement and adventure, new experiences, personal growth, and spiritual development. Register now for next June through August of 2024 to have the best summer ever. For more information, go to campsanctamaria.org. That's campsanctamaria.org.
Tu scendi dalle stelle, o re del cielo, e vieni in una grotta al freddo al gelo. E vieni in una grotta al freddo al gelo.
8:55, welcome back. Catholic Connection on a Tuesday morning, wrapping up the first hour, and we are going to be chatting at the top of the hour with Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN. He's an author, a Catholic historian, and well-versed, extremely well-versed in all things Catholic, especially the teachings. He's going to join us to kind of dissect the note that came out yesterday from the Vatican regarding blessings of irregular situations, and what does that mean, and how is that going to play out in the local church, which is the big question. I know I've been chatting with many priests here locally, and of course, my husband being a deacon, that's the big question. How does this, what does this look like at the local level of the diocese and the parish? So we'll discuss that with Dr. Bunsen, and then we're going to be honored to have the amazing Dr. Scott Hahn with us. That'll be a real treat and a gift. That's coming up at 9:15. He's going to be, along with his beautiful wife Kimberly, speakers at the upcoming Grand Hotel Getaway, July 22nd to the 24th, and our own Padre, Father John McCartney, will be the spiritual director. You don't want to miss that. And wrapping up with Joseph Pierce, a book for our times, The Good, the Bad, and the Beautiful, which is all about the different dimensions of the church. Stay tuned. More Catholic Connection coming your way on this, the third week of Advent, Tuesday, the 19th.